You may be seated, and if you would, turn to your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, my subject this morning, fresh fire. Fresh fire. If you would, someone please come get a mic, Sister Joan Tedder. You want to come down or you want to testify right there? She wants to testify right there. Take her a mic, please. Sister Joan, we love you and we honor you. She's one of the charter members of this church. Hallelujah. Her son Joey's with her.
I'll make this short. Now, in this modern day, you never know what you're going to find when you go to a doctor. Or the way they've changed doctors now and what they can do. Well, now, they called me from my heart doctor, and he asked me if I wanted to go to the office or did I want to talk to them on the phone. And I said, well, I'll talk to them on the phone. Well, the nurse asked me different questions and all. And then she said, well, he'll talk to you in about an hour. Well, my doctor called me back, and he asked me questions. And I told him, I said, I just don't feel good. I said, I'll get up and I'll do a little bit, and I've got to go sit down and I'll go to sleep. And so he talked to me and everything. And then he said, let's just leave your blood pressure medicine off. He said, for 2 weeks, and we'll see how you do. Well, praise the Lord. I'm stronger. I don't have to take the medicine. And I do not feel like that I can go somewhere in the house and do something and not feel like I've got to go sit down and go to sleep. So I thank the Lord for that.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what we're talking about. That's another testimony. Let come on up here, sister. Praise God. I tell you what, we let the Holy Ghost have his way.
I kept sitting there, and the Lord was dealing with me to get up here. I couldn't leave this church without giving him glory today. Sunday night, we had a good service. I was at home. Alan had to work, and he came in. And I want to give God praise today for what he done in my life Sunday night. The Holy Ghost fell in our house Sunday night. Praise God. He filled me full of his Holy Spirit. And he took this depression. It's gone. It's gone. I don't claim it anymore. It's gone. He healed me. He delivered me. He set me free. Sunday night, he changed my life. I haven't been the same since then. And I know he did something awesome in my life. And I just want to give him glory today. I couldn't leave from here without giving him all the glory and the praise, because I've waited a long time for this. And I know it's gone. I can't even say the D word. I won't claim it. I'm healed. By his power, I am healed and set free, and I just want to praise him for it.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. That's what I'm talking about this morning, fresh fire. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 3, fresh fire. Revival fire is starting to fall once again in America. And thank God it's falling here at Westmoreland. Wonderful testimonies. Hallelujah. God is pouring out his spirit and he's getting his bride ready for the greatest event that has ever taken place. It's the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Revival fire is falling, but it's time for the church to yield to the flame. We've got to yield to the flame. We got to put off the old man with his deceitful lust. We got to put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. This revival will be a sovereign move of God. That was a word of prophecy spoken to us this Friday night in our prayer meeting. Sister Julia Page, I knew it was the Lord speaking because he's been talking to me along those lines. This will be a sovereign move of God. Jesus is coming for a glorious church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, or any such time, any such thing. And it's time to lay aside every weight and every sin that will keep you from making heaven your eternal home. Let me say that again. You've got to lay aside the weights and the sins that would keep you from making heaven your eternal home. Look at Revelation 3:14. This is Jesus preaching. Jesus said, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or that you were hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." Look at verse 17. "Because thou sayest, okay, everything's all right now. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. You know not that you are miserable, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." And then Jesus said, "I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment," the purity. That's what he's talking about. "That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." My subject, fresh fire. Let us pray. Father, thank you for these wonderful testimonies. Thank you that fresh fire is falling across this land and that it's falling here at Westmoreland. Speak to us today, Holy Ghost. Open our eyes. Let us see the day and the hour that we're in. And Lord, we praise you for that. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. We're in the last days when God has promised to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and we're witnessing that right now. But we're also in the last days where the Bible says many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. And because of that, the church must contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That faith that I'm talking about was the faith that was born in the fire on the day of Pentecost. We're living in a church age that is lukewarm. It's neither cold nor hot. And we need for fresh fire, the fresh fire of revival to fall all across America. Sanctification, which means holiness and separation, it has almost been dropped out of our vocabulary in the church. Anytime you point out someone's sin today, they will say, "You're judging me." Well, I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm just telling you, you don't need to be deceived by the standards of the world. The world out there, let me tell you, it's ungodly. And unless they repent and come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and turn to Jesus with all their heart, they will die and they will end up in a devil's hell for eternity. We're not of this world. And that's why I'm preaching along these lines this morning. We have been born again from another world. Hallelujah. And we cannot indulge in the things of this world and make heaven our eternal home. I want to tell you something. When somebody puts down the booze and they start shacking up and running around and going back to the clubs, all they've done is gotten delivered from one thing, but they're still indulging in sin. And that's the church age in which we live. And when you point out someone's sin, they say, "You are judging me." Well, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not a fruit inspector. But I am going to tell you from the Word of God, this book right here will judge your sins. God is a holy God. He wants a holy people. And unless the church repents and get together with one accord and start calling sin, sin, and stop endorsing sin, saying, I believe God and I speak in tongues and I'm a Christian, and then they endorse an ungodly party like it's running this Christian nation. We are a Christian nation. People don't think we are, but I know we are. Praise God. This nation came out of the heart of God. It was planted by the hand of God. And people in this nation, we need to take care of the gift that God has given to us. And you don't vote for an administration that wants to kill little babies and sanction same-sex marriage and bear the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, you've been deceived, and you need to find an altar of grace, and you need to repent. And if people don't like that, it doesn't bother me a whole lot anyway, because I didn't come to please man. I came to please God, and I came to preach the everlasting gospel. I want you to listen to the Word of God. I want the scales to fall from some people's eyes. I have to ask God to help me all the time. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. This is the great apostle Paul is preaching. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He says, "Be not deceived." And then he starts talking about sexual sins. And that is the great sin in America, sexual sins. We've gone crazy as a nation. Transgenders and same-sex marriage and gay rights and lesbian rights. Oh, no. This Bible talks about God, that he created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden to replenish the earth. "Be not deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates," as homosexuals and lesbians, by the way, "nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards." Look at this nation. Look at our administration, what's been stolen. "Revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." None of those shall not. And I love this verse right here, the next verse, 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. "And such were some of you. But you've been washed. But you are sanctified. But you're justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Somebody go on, praise God. See, I'm not a fruit inspector. I'm a preacher, but the Bible says you shall know them by the fruit that they bear. The Bible says, "Let a man examine his own heart to see if they be in the faith." Look at 1 Corinthians 11:31. "For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged." What does that mean? You got to judge yourself according to the Word of God, and then you won't be judged. So if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged, verse 32. "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." God says, judge yourself. Repent of your sin. Get sin out of your life. The Word of God is judging you. And when you're judged by the Word of God, we are chastened or corrected by the Lord like a father that pities his little children. That's how good God is. And when the Word corrects us, we are to repent so that we will not be condemned with the world. The world is headed to hell. The church is headed to a land called heaven. Hallelujah. We are going to our eternal home, but we've got to live right. We've got to live a holy, sanctified, separated, pure life. And if you've got a besetting sin in your problem, there's fire on the altar here at Westmoreland. And you don't have to leave this place like you came, in Jesus' name. You need to throw down your cigarettes, throw down your alcohol, throw down your dope, throw down all the stuff that's keeping you from having a good, clean, pure relationship with Jesus Christ. He come to set the captive free. Here's somebody, you just heard some powerful testimonies this morning. Alcohol has no grip. Alcohol cannot hold you. You cannot be held. Jesus Christ is a chain breaker, no matter what chain is holding you. If you'll get a heart for God, I can tell you something. You'll be free. You'll be free of the street drugs, the doctor's drugs. And the only thing that'll drug you, praise God, is I feel like I want to be drugged to church. Hallelujah. Like I was when I was a little boy. Praise God. I went to church because mom and daddy carried me to church. And it's time for the church to wake up. We need fresh fire. And I don't even have to preach to you and tell you what the first touch of fresh fire will do. The first touch of fresh fire, it will purify you. It will make you holy as he is holy. Hallelujah. The first fire of Pentecost, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And God has given us a divine prescription for the church age in which we live. I want you to look at Revelation 3:18 again. Now, Jesus, the head of the church, he is speaking. He said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in the white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." I'm appalled at the people that come to these altars and get saved. And then they live like the world. And they come to church and raise their hand and says, "I'm okay." And you know, a drunk can praise God. But God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is a God that knows the thought and intent of our heart. He knows our lying down. He knows our rising up. And whatever you're hiding from God, He sees it. You can hide it from me. You can con people, but you can't con God. And God is keeping the record book, and we need to get our lives pure and clean, and we need to get red hot for God. See, the furnace of God's fire, it is our friend. We emerge from the fire, vessel of honor, sanctified and ready for the master's use and prepared for every good work. The fire will cleanse you, and holiness, holiness is born in the fire of God. Hallelujah. Now Moses, y'all know Moses. Oh, how Moses was touched by the fire. It was a sovereign move of God. Why did God move so strongly on Moses? Why? Because God's people were praying, and we are praying, hallelujah. The angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a burning bush. The bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed, hallelujah. And God called Moses, and God sent Moses down to Egypt to deliver the people out of Egyptian bondage. And that is a picture of the sin that is in this world today. God sends a preacher, and He sends him to deliver people from sin. Amen. Moses didn't choose the assignment. God chose the assignment. But Moses yielded to the flame. Jesus said, "You've not chosen me. I've chosen you, and I've ordained you, and I've sent you forth to bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever you ask of the Father, He will give it to you in Jesus' name." Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. See, when Moses and those people went out, that was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And America's in big trouble. And we need some preachers who've been called by God. Not called by mama, not called by daddy, not called by some seminary, not called because their daddy was a preacher, called by God, filled with the fire of God, that'll stand up, praise God, and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and say, "I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." We need some preachers that are God sent. Hallelujah. We don't need professionals. Preaching's not my profession. Business was my profession. I'm called by God to do what I'm doing today. I can't lay it down. Praise God. Don't want to lay it down. I'm like old Jeremiah. He said that God's people were sinning so bad back down that old covenant. Jeremiah said, "I'm not even preaching to them anymore. God, they're so backslidden, I'm not going to have a word to say." And he said, "It was like a fire shut up in my bones that I could not forbear. I had to preach it. I had to preach it. I had to go tell somebody because of what He's done for me. Woo! Save me. Cleanse me. Turn my life around. Set my feet up on the solid ground. Glory to God. Fire! Let the fire of God fall. My Lord and my God." Then that was Elijah. I love him. The mighty prophet of God went to Mount Carmel to withstand the false prophets of Baal. Look at 1 Kings 18:21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God," I could stop right there and preach. "If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." The people answered him not a word. How long will this church age that we're living in halt between two opinions? We tried the smoke machines. We tried the church growth techniques. We tried the entertainment. We tried the coffee shops, and we got one of those. We tried the blinking lights. In some of our churches, they look more like a club than they do a church. They're dark and they're dingy. My Bible says, "Come out of darkness into the marvelous light. Be ye separated, saith the Lord God of hosts." Hallelujah. "Touch not the unclean things of the world, and He will receive you." My God, we're to walk in the light. I think we tried it all, and we found out what we can do. Amen. Look at the church age. We found out what man can do with man's plans. Why don't we pray? Why don't we seek God? Why don't we ask God for a sovereign move of His Spirit? Amen. so we can see what God can do. We're already beginning to see what God can do in this place. Hallelujah. Church growth techniques. I don't want to go to another one. I've had my fill of them. Same stuff I was taught in the business world. Same principles. They're good. They work. And you got to have order and you got to have structure. But I want to know Him. I want Him to show up. I preach to people that have tremendous need. I have preached to people that have need miracles from God. I see the harvest of souls. And the harvest is white. The laborers are few. And that's why I'm trying to energize this church. Because my assignment is to preach, but my assignment is to equip the church to go out and win the harvest. And it's going to take a church on fire. It's not going to take the stuff that's in the clubs. It's going to take the stuff that's in this book. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go on, praise Him. Let the fire of God fall in this place, Father. Hallelujah. I'll tell you one thing. I've already shifted gears. I shifted a long time ago. I refuse to live in the smoke and ashes of yesterday when I can have the fire of Pentecost and signs and wonders happening in the church today. I made that shift, but I know one thing. I still need fresh fire, and I still need fresh oil. I need oil in my lamp. I'm like old brother David. David had God's anointing. David was called by God. David was a man after God's own heart. But in Psalm 92, he cries out after the prophet had anointed him, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. How can the fire burn without fresh anointing? How can the fire burn without fresh oil? We need to be set ablaze by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My Lord. God said it's not by power nor by might. It's not man's way. I don't care what they say. I don't care what consultant they call in there. It is not man's way. We're not building a business. We're building the kingdom of God. And His kingdom must be built on this word. And it must be built by a holy people. Because He's a holy God. And He's coming for a holy church. Praise God. And I don't want to miss the mark. Do you? You know, if a preacher's called, he ought to be able to, under the anointing, to demonstrate signs and wonders. That ought to follow his ministry. Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom. Paul said, I came to you in the power and the demonstrations of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. That's why I love the spirit of Elijah. Elijah told those false prophets of Baal, he said, I want you to build that altar. Call upon the name of your God. And when their God didn't answer, Elijah began to mock them. Like I'm mocking some things this morning that man's doing. He made fun of them. And he said, maybe your God is on a journey. Maybe he's talking. Maybe he's in the bathroom relieving himself. Or maybe he's just sleeping. Elijah told them, cry a little louder. Maybe if you just shout a little louder, maybe that dead God of yours can hear you. They cut themselves with knives and they begin to scream and they yell until the evening. Hallelujah. But no answer came. How can a dead God do anything? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I dare anybody that serves a false God, come in here and pray for the sick. And let's see if your God does anything. And I'll pray for the sick. And we'll see what God does. We'll have some holy hands from the people in this church laid upon people. And we'll watch what God does. God said, if I be lifted up, if you lift up the name of Jesus, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not afraid to preach. I'm not afraid to pray. It's not my name on the line. I'm just a messenger. His name is Jesus. And God has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, cancer shall bow. Disease of all types shall bow. Sin shall bow. Every tongue shall bow. And confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They prayed and prayed and prayed. Nothing happened. Then Elijah prayed a 63 word of prayer. The fire fell. It consumed the sacrifice. The wood, the stones, and the dust. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. I like that part. It licked up the water. So you got to sacrifice something to God if you're going to have what I'm talking about. You're going to have to sacrifice some ball games. You're going to have to get off that golf course. You're going to have to lay aside some of the things that you love to do. And you're going to have to get in a secret place called the prayer chamber and talk to God. That's what the early disciples did. They said, you pick some people to wait on those tables. We're going to give ourselves to prayer and the word and fasting. Hallelujah. It costs something. The cross will cost you. You cannot be a lukewarm Laodicean church person. Not if you've ever experienced the fire. We need fire. We need fresh fire. And God is pouring it out. Hallelujah. And as I love old Elijah, but I love Isaiah. He went into the temple. While he was there, he saw the Lord upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. When he saw the Lord in his holiness and his glory, he cried, woe is me. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. Before that encounter with God, here's the prophet running through. He said, woe are you, Israel? Woe are you? Woe are you? Woe, woe, woe. Woe are you, Israel? He goes into the temple. He sees God. And when he sees God and his train fill the temple, he looked at himself before he had taken an outward look. Then he took an inward look and he says, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. Woe is me. It's easy to be judgmental. It's easy when you don't know where people have walked. It's easy to look down your long sanctified nose. There are two types of judgment, by the way. One of them is a judgment that's critical. It just criticizes people for what they're doing. That is not God. God is love. The other judgment is you see a person in their sin and your heart goes out because you know that the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life, but you cannot continue in sin and make heaven your eternal home. My Lord. Look at Isaiah 6 and 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me. Isaiah said, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. Even the angel couldn't touch that fire. It was so holy, he had to take a tong. Look at it. Said, he laid it upon my mouth. Woo! And said, lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? That's Holy Ghost. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Who shall go for us? The Trinity. Then said I, here am I. Send me. Oh, God, if you can't find anybody else, will you send me? I'm convinced I was not the person chose to pastor this church. I think God walked past a lot of good people that said no. And he reached way over there and said, I choose you. And I just yielded to the flame. There are a lot of people a lot more qualified than I am. But he will qualify those he calls. And he will put fire in anybody's heart if they will turn from sin and sell out to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. My Lord. Isaiah had been touched by the fire from God's altar. He had a message from God and he went out to proclaim God's message to the church. His message was a message of hope. It was a message of restoration. Isn't that what we're looking? Hope in God. Look at our nation. Restoration. My God. There's a fire that burns on the altar here at Westmoreland. And I promise you something. The fire will change you forever. The Bible says the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. That fire in your heart and the fire on this altar, this physical altar, your heart is an altar. That fire on your altar, it will not burn unattended. The old ashes have to be removed every day. We're in a world where that sin and stuff is pressing in on us. New fuel has to be added every day. I can't tell you how much I prayed in the Holy Ghost this week. I just said, God, I need fire, and I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost, and I believe the fire fall. I believe you'll give me a message. I believe you'll set me on fire, God. I just don't want to be like the world out there. I don't want this church to be like any church. I want this church filled with the fire of God, the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I believe if we can get the fire to keep falling here, God will send the revival and God will send the people. And those that won't come, they'll go the other way because they've got a religious demon on them. They don't want the fire. They don't want the presence of God. But I come by to tell you, hallelujah, I'm not going to live back there like the world out there when I can have God and God's miracle working power. Hallelujah. My God. You know, the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Church, before God's grace came, think about it. We were all sinners. We were separated from God in this world with no hope. We've had songs about it. We've had testimonies about it this morning. But God, who is rich in mercy, woo! He saved us. What a treasure, Paul said, we have in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. You want to know where God is if you're born again? Just look inside. The mystery God had hidden for ages. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Does he love you? Yes, he loves you. Will he come to you? Yes, he will come to you. If you will cry out with a sincere heart and lay aside the world and say, God, I'm your man. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 6 and 20. For when we were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. In other words, when you were serving sin, you had no righteousness. God gave you your righteousness. Look at this, verse 21. What fruit, now that you're righteous, have ye in those things whereof you are now ashamed? Or why would you go back and serve sin? Why would you go back and serve sin? Why would anybody go back and serve sin? Look at this. The end of those things is death. He's talking about spiritual death. You are playing with fire. It's either the fire of God or it's unholy fire. And God will not accept unholy fire. His fire is pure. His fire is holy. And he puts holy fire in us. And he wants us to be separated and filled with fresh fire and passion for God. Look at verse 22, Romans 6 and 20. But now being made free from sin. That's what the blood will do. And become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. My brother got saved, but he said, God, I got this problem. He didn't try to hide it. You can't hide it. God sees it. You got to come clean and say, God, I've got this problem. And it's killing me. It is. It's killing you spiritually. You got to get rid of it. But now being made free from sin, become servants of God, you have a fruit unto holiness, the end of everlasting life. And look at verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Now Paul said, if you keep indulging in that sin, you're going to end up in the wrong place. You're going to die and go to hell because the wages of sin is death. But he doesn't stop there. I mean, he's exhorting these people, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. See, the Apostle Paul, he wasn't a mansy-pansy preacher, let me tickle your toes. No, he was strong in the Lord, strong in the power of his might. He'd been caught up in the third heaven, and he'd seen things that he said, it's not even lawful for me to tell you. He said, it's so beautiful, eyes not seen, ears not heard. not even into the hearts of man, the things God has prepared for those that love him. And I come to you in love, and I want to tell you something. If you want to make heaven your eternal home, you better lay aside those weights and the sins that would easily beset you. Run your race with patience, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. My Lord. Paul preached the gospel of grace and not of the law. But he warned people about sin over and over. People say, oh, we're not under the law, we're under grace. Which law are you not under? You're not under the ceremonial law. Thou shalt not kill. You're not under that? Yes, you are. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. No. We're under those laws. Oh, you can't keep those. Which one can't you keep? You can keep them all. And if you're born again, you'll have a little inward voice in you, and you'll have a desire to keep them all. And when you fail, you'll go to God in prayer. Look at Romans 6:14. I love this preaching. It's Paul preaching. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but you're under grace. Then he asks this question. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Don't you know that whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey. Whether sin unto death, obedience unto righteousness. See, we just want people to come so we can build a big church. I don't know what they're after. If I wanted to build something big, I'm a businessman. I believe I could build it. I was successful in the business world. Why couldn't I be successful if I would just tickle people's fancy and say, you're okay and I'm okay. Just come on. God understand. No, God does not understand. God sent his son. He poured out his precious blood at Calvary. The Bible says you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You can present your body to the devil if you want to. You can go out and whore around. You can go out and be a whoremonger. You can go to the bars. You can go shack up. You can drink all the liquor you want. You can do any of that stuff just like the world, and you die and go to hell. Amen. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm tired of having to pray for people that are little babies when they ought to put the sin out of their life and suit up and put on the whole armor of God and get serious about God and say, God, I want to go to heaven. I promise you something else. If you get your heart right, your children will notice it. Your children will start living right. When mom and dad get full of the fire, praise God, the children get full of the fire. I'm a product of that, and I know what I'm talking about. You're a product of that, Brother Philip Pearson. You're a product of that, Elam Johnson. You're a product of that, Woody Bradley. You're a product, hallelujah, and others. You're a product of what God did. Fire will fall. My Lord. Paul warned the church over and over again that if you sin, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. The fire will purify you. The fire will refine you. My time is up. That's all right. I got a lot more, but I can save that for later. Pastor Rick, if you would come. What I'm wanting you to know is that God loves us. He invites us to come to him. If you're here today and there have been things in your life, you need to get up and come talk to God. The Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's talking to Christians. He's not talking to the world out there. John's writing to the church. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm going to end with this. Jesus loves his church. He gave himself for his church. He's the head of the church. And I got some other things I could have preached. But I couldn't get away from this because I'm looking for fresh fire. Look at Revelation 3:19. This is why I'm preaching along these lines this morning, because God loves you and he loves me. Revelation 3:19, I'm sorry. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, will open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him, and he with me. The King is coming, and God wants to get his bride ready. I'm preaching to people today that have been born again by God's Spirit. And God is saying, I love you, and I'm knocking. I'm coming. But just before I come, see, on the day of Pentecost, that was the former rain. But God has promised us the former rain and the latter rain in the same season. So fresh fire is going to fall. That is going to be a great revival. This nation is due a revival. They're happening all over the world. But they're happening all over the world because of the missionaries that have gone out of this nation. We have planted in other nations the gospel. Whatever you sow, you reap. If we've sent 85% of the missionaries and the mission dollars to the world, who do you think is due a great harvest? It's America. And revival fires are going to fall. And we're experiencing some of it right now. The harvest is white. The laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest. He would sanctify some people, equip them, call them, and send them. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Can you say that and mean it from your heart today? Here am I, Lord, send me. If you can, look for a transformation in your family. Look for a transformation wherever you go. Look for the fire of God. If you can be honest with God and say, like Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. Let us stand.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome,
Holy Spirit,
by your presence.
Let fresh fire fall on me.
Lord,
oh God,
your presence,
fresh fire, Lord. The fire that purges,
Holy
cleanses,
Spirit,
the fire that heals,
come
the miracle that are in the fire of God. Let them fall here, Lord. Fill us with fire. Hallelujah. Glory.
Overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill atmosphere.
Fill the atmosphere,
your
Holy
glory,
Ghost.
Glory, God, is what our hearts.
Fill this place, Lord, and fill us.
To be
the day of Pentecost, cloven tongue like as a
presence,
fire, set upon
Lord,
each of them. Let the fire set upon each of us, Lord. Hallelujah.
Your presence.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Oh, your presence, Lord. Oh, God, heal
let
your people.
More aware
let the cleansing fire
your presence presence.
Fall.
Let us experience
glory.
The glory of
Hallelujah.
Your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience glory of your all now. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are.
Glory, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Fire. Fresh fire, Holy Ghost. Fresh fire. Anamo Shalema. Let the Holy Ghost speak. Look at me. Look at me. Open your mouth. Receive the Holy Ghost. Ha ha. Rashama. Rashama. Ropa re shete le verrianda raba. Be loose. Big and tall.
Holy Spirit, Glory. You are welcome here.
Glory.
Flood this
Glory.
Place and fill the air.
Fire, Holy Ghost, fire. Oh God, have mercy, Lord.
Our hearts
have mercy.
For.
Fire. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, oh God, give us those suddenlies you told me years ago you would give us. Hallelujah.